and welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It's episode number 284. I'm your host, James Gilmore. Joining me is Peter Willington.
Hi.
And it's Harry Slater.
Hello.
Oh, so good to see you. It's been so long. Not really. It's been about 7 days. No, actually, it's been about 7 minutes because we were talking prior to this. Curtain taken up and all our horrible underbelly revealed. How's everybody been? Everyone good? Everyone all right? Yeah, good, good, excellent. Marvis?
Yeah, fine. Yeah, right. Good. Yeah, I'm all right, mate.
That was the enthusiasm I was looking for.
As we were talking about just before this, like, it is too warm to get enthusiastic about anything. It is 400 degrees Celsius in my room right now.
Which is 2.5 degrees Fahrenheit, if you're paying attention. Yeah, you can do the conversion. Yes, as we were moaning about last week, the heat wave continues and it's just gotten worse.
It's draining.
And we're not equipped for this because, you know, to survive heat, you need a hat and gills and other things we don't have. That might be water. Either way, we don't have it.
Yeah, I've lost all concept of time. That's how I don't. I've the only reason I know it's Thursday is because I'm here talking to you.
That's how I judge my timings throughout the week as well. Purely, it's in Slater hours. That's how I judge it. So really, there's only 1 hour a week. The best hour. The happy hour.
I'm going to cry now.
Don't cry.
I can't because I've sweated out all my tears.
Oh, bugger. Oh, well. Peter's looking a bit downcast. It's all right. The Peter hour's quite good as well. It's a little more common, being as you, obviously you work with me on AppSpy.
Hold on a second. A little bit more common.
You're common.
Oh, well, this is all very disappointing and upsetting, and I feel like this isn't a supportive work environment for me.
Look at all my books. You're obviously more common than I am.
Cry me a river. We don't have HR departments around these parts. We're made of iron, steel, and bits of granite.
I'm gonna lodge an official complaint to my higher up, which
I'll check my inbox later. The Modern Combat 5 Madness continues! Gets out this week, and we'll be talking about it a lot later. But before we get to that, Asphalt 8 Airborne, another Gameloft property, has been upgraded with a track that is sort of tied into Modern Combat 5.
Right.
So there is a Venice chapter in Modern Combat 5. It's the thing that begins the game. You might have seen it in the videos up on AppSpy and Pocket Gamer. Helicopters and little rivers and stuff and chases and boats and all. It's very dramatic. However, there's an actual track in Asphalt 8 Airborne, which is the Gameloft arcade racer, which is very, very good, incidentally, in which it now goes through Venice, and Venice is being destroyed, a la Modern Combat 5. So as you're racing around, buildings are falling down and helicopters are chasing you and things are blowing up, and it's like driving through a war zone. I suspect they're trying to simulate what it is to drive through, I don't know, Manchester or something?
Roll them up, guys. Roll them up.
It's just another day. But it's pretty dramatic, and I guess it's a cross-promotional thing, but if you're still playing Asphalt 8 at this point, you can download the update for free right now. I think it's a temporary thing. I have a feeling in my bones that it is, although I can't confirm it outside of my bones. So you'll have to take the word for it on that one. Here's some good news. Table Tennis Touch, which when we did our Twitch stream dealing with the best tennis games, won both the viewer poll and our poll because it was well good. It's a game that we reviewed on AppSpy a while back, and it's really, really excellent. There's a video review for it up there, and also it got covered on Pocket Gamer 2. I think you guys liked it as well, didn't you?
Oh, yes. I gave it 9 out of a possible 10.
Nice. It's wickedy wicked. Like, really, really insanely good fun. One-to-one touch controls, and it looks beautiful, and really captures the feel of you. You feel like you're reaching through the screen and doing the spins, and the swipes, and the slices, and all that. It's great fun. It's going cheap right now. You can buy it for £1.49 or $1.99, which is a pound off the usual £2.49 or £3.99 price. It is one of the best tennis related games out there, certainly the best this year. So I'd strongly recommend grabbing it if you haven't already got a hold of it. What else have we got? Oh yeah, speaking of sales, Square Enix, of the notoriously ludicrously high price tag, have decided to cut us a break a little bit.
Okay.
By putting on a great big summer sale. It's only on Android.
Oh.
Okay.
Right, I've got an Android.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. Oh. We can weep and you can grab the air with joy. So if you happen to have an Android device and you're a bit of a Final Fantasy fan, then you'll be able to get Final Fantasy 3, Final Fantasy 4, Final Fantasy 5, Final Fantasy 6, and Final Fantasy 4 The After Years, which is their add-on game, for about half price. I think that the sale will run over the course of a few months, so they will only be available at specific times. So between the 24th of July, which is today as we record this, to the 30th, you get Final Fantasy 3 and Final Fantasy 4 cheap. So that's £5.49 or $7.99, slashed in half from the usual £10, £11, £16, and the same for Final Fantasy 4. Then from July 31st to August 6th, Final Fantasy 5 will be going cheap, and then from August the 7th to August the 18th, Final Fantasy 4 The After Years and Final Fantasy 6 will be going cheap. So they're spreading it out over a few weeks, but it's kind of good news because they are so expensive. And even half price, they're still pretty expensive. Mm. But they're obviously classics, and people are prepared to cough up a little bit extra for those games.
They've gone from ludicrous to pricey.
Yeah, exactly.
You still have to mortgage your house to get them all.
Now you just have to mortgage the shed.
I don't have a shed, it burnt down.
No Final Fantasy for you then, Harry. Denied. No. But keep your eye on the site. We'll update you when the other sales kick in and we'll remind you because it's a good thing to know. But Android only, I'm afraid, people. So iOS gamers, tough, basically. The other thing we'll mention quickly is that Thomas Was Alone, which is the oh-so-popular and trendy indie platformer, which is, I suppose, now not indie because the guy sold a billion copies and is now probably quite wealthy, is now available on iPhone and Android. Previously, it was only iPad, but you can now get it on the phony-style devices. It's also been put on sale to commemorate this little launch, so you can now get it for £2.49 or $3.99. And previously, I think it usually retails £3.99? Yeah, £5.99.
I think it's only out on Android tablets. I don't think
really?
You get it on Android phones. I think I read that somewhere.
All right. Well, I mean, you know about the game probably because it's been around for like over a year at this point and it's been launched on other platforms. But if you fancied getting it on mobile phone, iPhone, you can, and apparently Android tablets too. We'll update you. It'll probably appear on Android phones as well at some point, but we'll let you know when that happens. Yes, it's Modern Combat 5 week. It's been going on all week, I suppose, isn't it? That's pretty much the only stipulation for Modern Combat 5 week.
Well, there's two stipulations, actually.
Whatever! It's really hot, Peter. It's really, really hot. So before we get to the actual review and the release and all of that information, there was some stuff that happened before we even got to that point. The game was cracked by, of all things, an early access contest winner. So it wasn't hacked off of the server or given as a pre-release code. Someone won the contest and got a pre-release version and were like, thanks, GameNoff, that's brilliant. And then immediately set about cracking it and distributing it illegally upon the internet. Ooh, shaky hands and heads. Obviously, this happens a lot. It happens a lot on Android as well. People always cite it on Android as the reason why they make things free to play. They're always like, oh, we have to make everything free to play because Android people just hack everything because
they're all criminals.
Scrupulous criminal
all of
bastards.
Them are criminals. It's just a fact.
That is exactly what all the developers say. That's why you should hate all developers. No, they don't quite say that, but genuinely, they use it as a major reason. And it's a little. It was a little bit sad to see. It's bound to happen. Piracy is the main thing, and it depends on which platform you're doing it on and which media you're pirating. Like if you're pirating Game of Thrones, HBO are quite glad. They boast about their Game of Thrones pirate figures and say that like it's downloaded the most and it just shows you how wonderfully popular the show is. Mm. But it's a little bit more frowned upon with video games because, you know, they do need to get some money at some point. And this is a premium game. This isn't a free-to-play game. It's a premium title with no in-app purchases in it, which is the sort of thing that people tell us that they want.
I'm not defending. I would never defend stealing.
No.
Unless it was like me stealing stuff I wanted. Mm. But it does have an always-on internet connection.
It does.
Which is a bit annoying
yeah.
for a game that you're supposed to be able to walk around with. And I have noticed that I live in England, and therefore the concept of a 3G connection is utterly foreign to me.
Yes, theoretical at best.
But the arguments about it being pirated, like, they're... Because we've seen people sort of say, oh, well, it's got this always-on internet connection, and, oh, well, I don't like the game anyway. And like, oh, and the game, the multiplayer will be hacked, so I may as well download it for free. Mm. Like, all of this sort of stuff, and, like... It's a pretty thin argument, isn't it? Like, it is really, really weak source. And like the way that this the game actually got out there was the game was given early to like a few fans, and one of them leaked it. Like,
maybe they're really enthusiastic fans, so enthusiastic they just wanted to share it with everyone.
What an absolute dick move! Like,
it's a kick in the teeth.
That is a real kick in the teeth, and like. You know, like, whatever you think about the game, like, there are some games that I wouldn't pay money for, but then, at the same time, if I wouldn't pay money for them, I probably wouldn't download them illegally, like, because, like, if I'm not prepared to pay for the experiences of entertainment that I have, then, like, I don't really think I deserve it, like...
I can tell you right now you don't deserve it, Peter.
But it's pretty weak. Like,
no, it is, and obviously Gameloft were a little bit disappointed and reacted, and they're kind of like, oh, that's not what we wanted. However, they've gone in, and because it's an always online connection and all that stuff, apparently they've been able to deactivate the early adopters. They have, quote, incapacitated the accounts.
I kind of think they incapacitated me.
Really?
Yeah, because I was playing it for most of the week and then got all of my progress wiped.
Ooh, maybe they thought you were an early adopter, not a reviewer.
Nah.
Oh, dear me, that's not good. My progress is fine, though. I'm above board, good. Right? Because I didn't thieve a damn thing. So, yes, a bit of a shame, and it's one of these knockbacks. It's because of stuff like this, it's because of the piracy and people not making the money off it, that then developers go, yeah, we might as well make everything free-to-play, because we know you're going to steal it anyway, so have it for free-to-play, and we'll charge you for more in-app purchases. So this kind of stuff is lending to the climate, the culture of the free-to-play game. And everyone keeps telling us they don't want that.
It's like a short-term four or five quid win, and then like in the long term, you're not going to get the games that you want.
Yeah.
Like this is exactly what this is. Like, whenever piracy comes up, I always come back to this idea of like what happened to SNK. Like, the King of Fighters series went away for a really long time because people pirated it. Like, that was the entire reason that it died on its ass and the company died, because they, like, nobody could afford to buy the carts, so everybody pirated them. The company didn't make any money, and like, an amazing fighting series nearly died, a Metal Slug nearly died, and like, all of these things like completely nearly went away. So like, I don't know, like, it just like everybody sort of goes, oh, well, it'd be okay if I just download it. It's just like, no, man, like, pay for your entertainment.
Yeah. And it's like, it's the same argument. I'd be all right if I just stab someone as long as no one else does it.
As long as someone stabs me.
Yeah. Well, no, as long as like, I'm the only one doing the stabbing, but there's always other people doing stabbings, I guess, is my argument.
I think the moral is don't stab people.
Unless you really, really hate them.
Oh, yeah. In which case, it's fine.
Exception to every rule, Harry. Come on.
No, that's broadcastable.
If you want to get Modern Combat 5 legally and justifiably, it's available now on both Android and iPhone. We'll cover it more later. I'm going to get right in there early and steal it from you. Incidentally, that SNK thing you were talking about earlier, King of Fighters, might have some good news for you later, Peter.
Ooh.
Stay tuned. Right, so we covered 80 Days last week on the podcast and on AppSpy as well. It was due to come out yesterday. Well, this today, really, I suppose, depending on when you're listening to this. It is the Around the World in 80 Days interactive adventure book, which has been done in a sort of steampunky kind of way. It's been made by Inkle, the guys behind Sorcery, that at the moment two-part adventure. I think it's going to be four parts eventually, which is really, really good. And I've been playing some of this in hands-on, and this is really good as well.
Ooh,
it's slick as you like. And so, Harry, you were talking about saying it's well-written. It is well-written. It's got words in it, proper words with numerous syllables. I'm really impressed. And it's slick as all hell. So I was playing it with the hands-on. There's a video up on AppSpy and a video up on Pocket Gamer, and we were all like, hey, it's going to come out. And then it didn't, because it's been pushed back by a week. So we are sorry for giving you misinformation, but we didn't know it at the time. At the last minute, the developer said, no, we're not going to release it this week. It's going to come out next week, July 31st, to be precise. So apologies if you're waiting for that one. But the video's live on AppSpy. Go and have a look, and you can see about 10 minutes of it. And yeah, I'm totally stoked. It's really fun to play through. This is nice, actually. We're showing a GIF on the Twitch stream at the moment, which apparently shows the progress of all the people who are currently playing the game. So the developers put this together, and it's charting a map and showing each individual person and their mode of transportation as they travel across Europe into the Middle East and over through to Asia. And somewhere on that, I suppose you are, Harry.
No, probably not. Because I didn't get a chance to play it very much this week. But I know you're on now.
Am I? Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. Apparently you just stay in Paris and rob a bank or something.
That totally is. I did wonder if that was me, because I was doing the video, and obviously I'm going through really slowly and talking to everyone, letting the days pass. Yeah, I stop in Paris for about 4 days to get some cash before I move on, during which time everyone else has taken an airship to bloody Colombia or something. So it didn't work out for me, but I was doing it for science, damn it, for science and AppSpy. But we'll obviously cover it next week when it does come out, but keep your eye out. Don't be disheartened. It's coming soon, and it's interesting. I think it's going to be well worth the wait. Oh, look at this, Peter. Look at this.
All right.
King of Fighters 98 is coming to iOS and Android.
Okay, I can't wait to hear this news story, and I'm going to be really pedantic when you tell it to me.
Okay. What we're saying is that SNK's classic arcade beat-em-up King of Fighters, this is Mark's report, 98, is heading to iOS and Android soon. Now, I know it came, or at least one version of this came to iOS and Android already, and was a bit rubbish, and people didn't like the controls on it.
There's a whole bunch of King of Fighters games. Yeah. There's King of Fighters I, there's King of Fighters I 2011?
Yeah, and 2012 like as well. Right?
And also King of Fighters 97.
Okay, cool.
Which I reviewed.
So this is 98, and it's going to be coming with a bunch of virtual button controls. In fact, it's got apparently 4 and 6 button control schemes, presumably designed to replicate maybe the Neo Geo stuff and also the arcade cabinets or whatever. So, possibly.
Possibly. Okay.
And the really, really good bit for people who are sort of super serious about this stuff, it's got Bluetooth controller support on it.
That is actually dope.
Yeah, see, I thought you'd like that. So if you're well hardcore and into it, because playing these kind of arcade fighters on touchscreens is doable, but, you know, pulling off your Shoryukens and stuff, not in this series, obviously, but doing those sweeps and everything on a virtual controller is a bit tricky. It's not really
so
cricket, is it?
It's odd that it's got a 6-button setup, because the 4-button setup is what it is in the arcade. So I'm assuming the 5 and, like, the 5th and the 6th button will be either dodges or, like, cancels or dashes or something like that.
I reckon
super moves usually are.
Yeah,
like
possibly a super move. I reckon it'll be a mapped shortcut for special moves. They used to do that with, and they probably still do with the fighting games of Soul Calibur and Soul Blade and everything. You could assign the 3 button presses to one of the shoulder buttons if you were a loser.
Now, not to be disparaging to the Pocket Gamer at all, but has PG noted which King of Fighters 98 this actually is based on?
Oh, good grief. How many King of Fighters 98s are there? Don't tell me there are 98.
There are 2, and they also differ by platform. So there's the King of Fighters 98, and then there is the King of Fighters 98 Ultimate Match, which is different.
Well, this
it
just
is
says
a slightly
98.
Different game. So I'm assuming it's the arcade original transposed to the...
Who were you calling a nerd earlier, by the way?
It's those flipping League of Lollygaggers, or whatever they're called. I get really nerdy about this sort of stuff, because King of Fighters 98 is a best of King of Fighters. So it goes back to the original King of Fighters, which was kind of like a best of, like, fighting game of all of SNK's properties.
Right.
But 98 is a best of the Oroki trilogy, which is, as I'm sure everybody on this call and everybody in the chat
knows. I can see the Twitch streams just, like, viewers dropping off one by one.
Yeah. Like, it is the fight between Kyo and Yori, which is basically about two families that have been at war for, like, hundreds and thousands of years. Like, it is basically the best of that trilogy, 95 to 97, I want to say. And 98 is kind of like a compendium of all of those. It also brings back dead characters like Regal, who died at the end of King of Fighters 95. Regal is like a series favourite. Like,
how can you pay attention to plots in these games?
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
It's an awesome,
I've played
awesome fighters.
Series.
You don't read books, but you know the plot to a trilogy of obscure fighting games from 20 years ago.
Yeah, well, you know what? Like, the I don't read books, but I do read manuals. And, yeah, so KOF 98 is, like, a really, really cool game. I'll be really interested to find out whether or not it's King of Fighters 98 Ultimate Match or if it's King of Fighters 98 The Slugfest.
Okay, all right, then. Well, you're right, and it's good to see that they got the Bluetooth control support in there, because it appeals to a hardcore fan base, and hardcore-type mobile gamers may well have these kind of controllers. They're the top type of people who invest in this sort of stuff. We haven't got a release date. It just says, soon... quotation marks there, which doesn't actually make things louder.
Can't come soon enough.
But they did this time, but yes, you can look forward to that in the not too distant future. There's all your news. Let's go and cover what's out and about this week. Out and about this week, Curse of Naxxramas, the update to Hearthstone, the card game, which is really rather good, that's available on iPads. This is the first of a series of paid updates that you can grab over the course of the next few months. This one is currently free, and provided you download it within the first month of its launch, it will remain free and you can keep it. After that month expires, you're going to have to cough up some actual dollars for it, which will be the equivalent of £4.99 or $6.99. So this is the first of five wings, I think, which are going to appear. They're called wings for some reason. And it deals with a thing that I'm not going to talk about because I haven't played it. But you have, Peter. You've been playing loads of this, Hearthstone Malarkey. So have you got as far as the Curse of Naxxramas? Have you just unlocked it?
Yes, I have. Yeah, I've unlocked it, and I've given it a damn jolly good seeing to the first wing. By that, I mean I've tried the first encounter and been absolutely destroyed by it. I'm hearing, actually, from Hearthstone players that actually, like, this Curse of Naxxramas is really tough, really challenging.
Okay.
By the, like... 26-point defeat that I experienced. Oof. I'm pretty sure that might be the case. Admittedly, I've only put about 6, maybe 7 hours into Hearthstone in total. So, yeah. And that was on normal, not even heroic.
Maybe they assume that you should all have the super most powerful deck in the universe at this point.
Yeah, I mean, possibly. I mean, if you're going to buy an expansion for the game, then you've probably done a lot of it already.
Yeah. Well, you can see a cinematic trailer for the game, which all looks very dramatic and very Blizzard. Loads of money all over it. And we are going to be doing a video, Peter specifically, which covers some of the update and the process to getting there and stuff. From what I could tell, it's a bloody great big spider.
Yeah, that's basically it.
So you don't need to watch the videos now.
I've filled you in.
Curse of the bloody great big massive spider. So if you're a player and you're in any way interested, download it now because you might as well and you'll get it for free. If you do wait, it's going to cost you a fiver. Then over the next few months, Blizzard will gradually drip feed you the remaining 4 wings, as they're called. But it's good news for people if you are a great big fan. And I keep meaning to sit down and play this, but you do need to invest time. It's not something you can pick up and go 10 minutes. You really need to sit down and do it properly, like you've discovered, Peter. And not play anything else that day or week. And we have to cover all these games, so it doesn't leave much time for it. But go grab it right now, because it is free and available. We've also got a lovely guide up on Pocket Gamer, which Matt Thrower, who's Pocket Gamer's resident Hearthstone head, has thrown together. So it gives you a guide. We've got guides for the whole of Hearthstone, but also specifically hints and tips to defeat Naxxramas. So if you are having trouble, Peter, you can go over there and use our handy resources. Also out this week, episode 4 of The Walking Dead Season 2. I'm not going to say any spoilers. I'm going to play a little trailer on the Twitch window, so cover your eyes if you're really that upset by spoilers. But there's not much in the video. We've reviewed it. Rob's reviewed it, who's the guy who's been following through the entire series, and I think he's given this one a silver award, saying it is one of the stronger episodes of the series. I'm not going to talk about plot details, because I only know some of them, and we'll get shot for spoilers.
By zombies?
Yes.
By
listeners. Eaten by zombies.
Oh, okay.
So if you want to carry on with the series, £2.99 or $4.99 or free if you've done the whole thing. It's called... What's it called?
Amid the Ruins?
Amid the Ruins sounds about right, yeah. And Clementine looks miserable in it. So there you go. Spoilers. Look forward to that. You can grab it right now. Yeah, we should probably mention that, I suppose. Modern Combat 5 Blackout's out.
Whoa!
So when did that happen?
Who knew, right?
Has it been some time during this week?
Yes, it has indeed. Yeah, there's been a lot of lead up to this because even though I'd argue that military shooters and first person shooters in general aren't ideally suited to touchscreen gaming, it's still a massively popular franchise. It's still a big thing, and there's still a big demand for this kind of game on iPhone, iPad, Android, everything else. And this is arguably the most popular series that's available. It's the Modern Combat franchise. It's been running since 2009 now. We did a great big retrospective on Twitch. You can go and find it if you're listening to the podcast or watching on Twitch. Check out our little past broadcast. I sit down and play Modern Combat's 1 through 4 for an hour. And so you can literally see the series evolve before your eyes, which was interesting to play because half of them didn't want to work with a streaming app, and it went a bit mental, but I played them and it was interesting, and you get to see the bombast increase, scale of bombast. I measure everything's in a unit of bombast, and this is about 8.6
on the bombast scale.
Yes.
It's interesting to see go back and actually look at a series and see how it progresses over the years.
Yeah,
you know, like,
yeah.
Going back and looking at other games as well, like, you look at the Silent Hill games and how they've progressed and then regressed, you know, how, you know, the Metal Gear games, that sort of thing. Like, it's always really cool to do that and look at games in, like, a really short period of time.
Yeah, and I won't talk about it too much because I'll talk about it in depth later. I did the review for it. It's up on AppSpy's YouTube channel and the site itself. Harry, you did the review for Pocket Gamer.
Yes, I did, sir.
And that is up on Pocket Gamer as well.
Yes. Yep.
I think we've agreed on most points.
I think roughly.
We had a little look. So I'll discuss it in greater detail in a little bit. It's available right now. It's £4.99 or $6.99. And there is an always online internet requirement attached to that. More on this later. Also out, Dream Revenant, which we started playing on the Twitch stream yesterday, or rather I did. And it's weird. So, it's from a first-person perspective, you are floating around what appears to be some guy's subconscious, or his dreams, probably. You see a hospital ward, an empty bed, which is sort of floating in the middle of this bizarre dreamscape, where there are rocks hovering in midair, trees flapping around, and a pathway which you turn around and follow, and you encounter all these strange bits of architecture and these odd items and objects that seem completely out of place in the environment. From what I can gather, it's like you're exploring your dreams, and I would imagine, being that the hospital bed is the first thing you see, you're in a coma, maybe. And so you're wandering around, exploring all these weird aspects of your dreams. And it's unusual. I only played it for about 15, 20 minutes or so, and it's one of those games that, for me, is going to be treading a line and could go one of two ways. Because if you look at games like Gone Home, which we were discussing yesterday, and Dear Esther, where they're... you're being talked to, you know, from a disembodied voice as you wander around and kind of experience an environment. You don't do an awful lot, you just wander about. And they can either be really interesting experiences and you can deliver a really cool story which you're sort of participating in, or they can be kind of dull, wafty, pretentious things in which there's no gameplay and you just end up getting bored.
Like Dear Esther.
Like Dear Esther, yeah. Dear Esther is an incredibly good-looking game, but once the initial thrill wears off, it is a bit like, oh, this is just trudging around and a bit pretentious. Whereas Gone Home, I feel, is really good.
Yeah.
And doesn't outstay its welcome, and the story's really interesting, and you feel involved in what's going on because you're exploring that house. There does appear to be interaction here. You seem to need to collect a bunch of tools, and you can grab them and then use that to, you know, unlock other bits of the world. And it goes onto this strange, like, tool rack that seems to appear wherever you need to use them. It's unusual, and I'm interested in playing more of it, but can't pass judgment just yet. Is this on your review radar, Harry? Are you guys
doing it? Played the first 10-15 minutes of it for the video that went up on Pocket Gamer, and it's interesting, but I don't know, some of the touchscreen controls didn't really work and some of the sort of puzzle explanations were a bit vague, and it has potential, but I'm not far enough in it yet to find out whether it fulfills its potential.
Sure. All right. Well, we'll keep our eye on it, and obviously we'll be posting reviews of these on both sites when we have them done. It's out right now, and it will cost you £1.49 or $1.99, but that's just for a limited time. After that, I think it'll bump up to £2 or £3, $3 or $4. So if you're like the video, like what you've seen, then grab it sooner rather than later. Also out now, The Phantom P.I. Mission Apparition, which I like because of the voweling rhymes. Who's played this? Anyone? Because I've
played it, and I was going to talk about it in Throne of Games.
All right, then.
Shut your mouth.
We'll hold our bloody tongue. Luckily, I don't know much about it, apart from your description, which is that it's a side-scrolling point-and-click adventure. It's out right now, and apparently won our big indie pitch event at Casual Connect.
Yep.
So there's a positive sign for you. It's out right now, £2.49 or $3.99. Harry will explain more a little later. Also out, Soccer Physics, which I played yesterday and was kind of enchanted by. So it's about as simple as a game can be. You're presented with a side-on view of two goals, one at either side of the screen, and you've got two players on your side. There's one button, and the ball drops, and you press the button, and both of your players leap twattishly into the air, limbs flailing in a kind of random ragdoll way. And that's the only control you have. So you have to just keep tapping and then hope they jump and hit the ball at some point, and the opponents do the same thing, and you've got to try and score goals. It's ridiculously simple and incredibly crude. It's also quite good fun. Like, I was tapping away like a fool for about 10-15 minutes on the stream and laughing and actually really enjoying myself. It's one of those games that will work incredibly well at a party. It's got a two-player option on the same screen. Because it's just one button, you can both just be there either side of your iPad or phone.
To make a point, there is a two-button control scheme as well.
Really?
You can control your two players separately.
What?
Yeah, which that makes it even more fun because you can accidentally pile them on top of each other.
That adds a whole new dimension to gameplay. Yeah. That's amazing. This game's even better than I thought. It's really sort of daft and silly, but it is fun. Like, and I can see it working in parties and one of those things where you just sit down and just, you know, tap and shout at the opponent opposite you. The one I mentioned in the stream yesterday was Omicron, which is a really good game for that. A colour matching tap thing where you have to tap the colours quickly before the other person. Almost like Finger Twister, but really, really fast. And that's really good fun and brilliant because I play it with my partner and it always ends up with her screaming and getting really upset. This is that kind of game.
Sounds brilliant.
Yeah, I know. Ones that traumatise your spouses or significant others, which is really all I'm looking for from a mobile game. But no, it's fun. It's daft and it's a one-note thing. But stuff does change on it. For example, suddenly when you go to the next round, it'll be an ice round. It'll be snowing and all your players will be sliding around like maniacs. Then it'll come back and your ball will have been replaced with a beach ball instead of a football and lots of silly things like that. So it does evolve and change, but it's kind of daft. In fact, it was like your pick of the week to some degree, wasn't it, Peter?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It's just so much fun and it has that sort of emergent gameplay thing that goes on.
Because you don't feel fully in control of what happens, but you are influencing it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're kind of watching people bounce around like nutters. Which, if that sounds like your idea of a good football game, screw FIFA, get Soccer Physics. It costs £1.49 or $1.99. It's out on the App Store right now.
Come sit upon the throne of games.
Let's mix things up. Let's do Peter first. Usually you tend to go last, but today I'm going to throw the mic in your face. Catch it. There you go. He caught it. He did an air grab there. Hop on the throne and tell us about your game.
Okay, I'm going to tell you all about Rush Horizon, which is the game that I've gone a little bit silly for. We got sent like this tiny little email that was in broken Korean at one point, and it just sort of said, "We've got this driving game." And I was just like, "All right." And they sent like one screenshot along, and I was, and it was enough to make me grab onto it. We had the first story. We officially had the first story on the internet on AppSpy.com about Rush Horizon, and from then I've kind of been getting steadily more excited about it. The game is an auto driver, an endless driver, I suppose, in so much as Temple Run is an auto run. An endless runner, so you keep going and going and going. You steer left and right by tapping left or right on the screen, and you're in a big, lovely red sports car, and you have to drive as fast as you can, like keeping as much fuel as you possibly can in your tank to get to the end of to keep going along this track. Mm-hmm. And each of the tracks are sort of these beautiful horizons. We've got this like hands-on video, and like you'll see in it that basically, you know, it's these beautiful sun-drenched beach area, very evocative of Outrun and like games of that era. And then you move on to different stages, again, much like you did in Outrun and Super Hang-On, like the stages will eventually change. The big, like, the whole sort of mechanic in it that is super exciting is that you have to drift behind slipstream behind other vehicles that are on the road. So you have to like be in their slipstream so that you're getting as much speed as possible, and you're not using fuel when you're in their slipstream, and then dodge out of the way just in time and then get into another slipstream as fast as possible. And so that's kind of like where the endless thing comes in. Sure. It's really kind of, it's really enjoyable. Like, it's a real enjoyable challenge. And I think that one of the reason that I've kind of gone so, like, gaga for it is it really is evocative of, like, early 90s, maybe late 80s racing games, in so much as you're not really turning around corners. You're more dodging left and right in lanes.
Yeah.
But it's not as, like, analog as Subway Surfers. It's definitely much more about sort of, like, very analogly... Analogly, is that a word?
Probably not.
But, the precision of moving around in this traffic. So there's a bit of burnout to it as well, mm-hmm. in so much as, you know, like you're getting rewarded for taking risks. The art style is very Outrun 2006, which in my eyes is like, can't be beat.
It's a free-to-play thing, right?
It is absolutely free-to-play. There's some free-to-play shenanigans going on. You only get 5 tyres... which is basically an energy system I think it's like every couple of hours it will be fully recharged. But like the play time, like each play session can go on for like 10 minutes if you're good enough. Mm-hmm. So like that seems fine. And if you're not up for endless stuff, then there are time trial challenges to unlock as well. The other thing is that you upgrade your car and you can buy new ones. There's a soft currency and a premium currency. The soft currency you get at the end of every race, and you use it to upgrade your abilities and also the items that you'll pick up, such as nitrous boosts and more fuel. And then there's like the premium currency, and that's really just used to buy like super top end sports cars. I absolutely love this. Most games, like I always say this, like most games after I've covered them, they kind of get deleted from my phone. Mm-hmm. I'm still playing this one, and I played it for like a huge chunk of yesterday, and I was playing it at lunchtime, and so like you can tell that I'm absolutely loving it. Rush Horizon, a sort of endless driver, and I absolutely love it.
Out now, is it, or is it in soft
launch? It is in soft launch in New Zealand.
Okay.
There's obviously a guide on Pocket Gamer as to how you can get yourself a foreign account, but it should be out on the 1st of August.
Right on. Okay, sounds cool. All right, then. Harry, I believe Hello. It's your turn. Let's talk about the thing I didn't talk about earlier.
Yeah. It's called Phantom PI. It's either Apparition Mission or Mission Apparition.
Mission Apparition, I think.
There we go. I was literally playing it an hour ago and I've forgotten. It's a side-scrolling, point-and-click adventure set in a haunted house. You are the titular PI who's like basically resolves problems for ghosts. And the ghost you're solving the problem for is like a rock star ghost who's getting picked on by a big evil ghoul who looks a bit like Slimer from Ghostbusters has eaten his favourite guitar. Because apparently he can still play guitar even though he's dead. But that's fine. That's fine.
Okay.
The levels are all take place in sort of different houses. So you're sort of wandering around solving really little simple puzzles. So you might have to go find a fuse to put in the fuse box to turn on the lift. So you can go and get a crowbar to crowbar open a door. So you can go through the door to get the key to unlock a door that gets you through to the special magical portal that takes you to the next level. So it's really simple.
Okay, sounds it.
You sort of slide and hold to move and tap to interact with things. There are also like these ghosts that live in boxes, obviously. And you tap on the box and the ghost comes out, and then you sort of get it with your laser gun and trace it around the screen and collect some gems and then suck it back in. But then sometimes you get fiery skulls, and if you touch those with your little ghoul, it explodes. And then,
all manner of stuff.
Yeah, it's surprisingly busy, but the levels last 5 or 10 minutes max. Okay. So you're sort of, you run through them pretty quickly. There's like audio logs and stuff to discover about the story that's going on. Mm-hmm. I've just got to the second act of it, and there's a new character who's been introduced, who's like a rummager who's in the house, and she'll push you away from stuff that you want to get to. So you have to figure out ways to get around her with the sort of the different things that you can pick up.
So is every act or stage using like a different mechanic, or is it a continuous kind of thing?
No, they're all sort of mixed together. So okay. You sort of get introduced to, you know, the crowbar is essentially just another key. You know, okay, so okay. Like it's just the same sort of. And then there are trapdoors that flip open and you fall down them. But then you can find planks, so you can put the planks across the trapdoor and walk across it and get to previously inaccessible areas. And it's just really, it's not super duper smart, smug point and click adventuring where you have to combine a sheep with an elbow to make a dreamscape. Yeah. It's like. it's just.
Peter's clearly never played Harry's point and click adventure. Dreamscape chickens.
It's just a really, really comfortable, nice, sensibly paced point and click adventure with a bit of actiony stuff thrown in.
Okay.
It's just nice and fun, and it's good, and it's warm, and it looks good, and I'm really enjoying it. So you should enjoy it too.
Let's take a look at that. So that's out on the App Store. It's £2.49 or $3.99. I'm gonna assume iPhone and iPad. Yes, it is. Yes. Both iPhone and iPad. If you're interested, and if it turns out to be good, I assume you'll be reviewing this at some point.
I am. Yeah, it should be up to Friday on
Marvelous Game. All right, then, we can go and check out the review and see if it lived up to your expectations. Thank you, Harry. All right, then, I'm going to do Modern Combat 5, but everyone feel free to chip in, because we've all played this at least a bit, if not a lot, in your case, Harry. So, yes, it's the latest installment of Gameloft's big old military first-person shooter franchise. It does all the things that you would expect it to do, and it suffers from all the issues you'd expect it to suffer from, with a couple of new ones thrown in for good measure. So, I roundly actually enjoyed it.
What?
Actually, even though it's not really my thing, and it's not my genre on iOS or on touchscreens. Everyone knows this already. I like it. If you're going to play a first-person shooter, I play it with a controller on a console. If I want to play a point-and-click adventure, or if I want to play The Room or something, I play it on an iPad because that's the best platform for it. But if you're going to play a first-person shooter and you have to do it, then obviously we've played through numerous ones, and it's good to know which are the best. And to be fair, this does do it better than most of them, really. The only comparable one that I can pull up is Deus Ex The Fall, which was a pretty good version of a touchscreen first-person shooter, but was still a bit clunky and iffy. And it's the same thing here, so I'm not going to recount the plot to you, because there isn't one. I mean, there is, but...
Is there?
There's... Yeah, no, apparently... There's talking in between shooting, but I always just skip over.
Actions.
Yeah, well, it's just people stand up and go, no, my God, we've been double-crossed by a guy, we've got to get to Shanghai or Tokyo or something and shoot some dudes. And then that's it, it just moves to the next place. No one cares, it's not what it's about, and it's daft and it's paper-thin and no one gives a monkeys. What's important is whether the shooty-shooty is any good and is fun. And you know what? Yeah, it is fun. In a silly popcorn, you know, dumb sort of way, it's quite good fun. I found myself getting into it and shooting the man in the head, and when I shot him in the head, I was like, yes, I shot him in the head. And that's pretty much what you're asking from these kind of games. There are a few differences to how the game is built compared to the last one, Zero Hour. So, for a start, the missions are cut down into even more smaller bite-sized chunks. So, there are 6 chapters to the whole game, and then likely these chapters will have between like 4 and 6 sub-chapters, which are very small micro-missions that exist within it. Once you've completed all of those missions, rather than being able to jump straight to the next city, to the next chapter, you also have to complete some other things. There are a bunch of spec ops, which are super, super, super micro missions, where you have to like kick in a door and shoot a man in the face and that's it, mission accomplished, or assassinate one dude. And you have to complete multiplayer stuff as well. Basically, you need to sort of check around 6 boxes, which you can do by doing 3 spec ops and 3 multiplayer challenges, or 6 of one and none of the other, whatever. You can choose your own way how you want to do it, but it means you can't advance directly to the next chapter once you finish the final mission of the previous one. Which is good in so much as it makes the game bigger, and it makes use of the maps that they've already built and stuff, and so it pads it out a bit, but it's bad in so much as it breaks up the flow of the combat of the actual mission. Any continuity that you might feel jumping from area to area is lost, because once you've done the campaign bit, you have to stop and do like six little micro missions.
Yeah, there's like a bit where you jump in a jeep to escape from some temples, and then the games are like, oh no, you're back in the temples and you have to kill all these people who are still in the temples, and you're a bit sort of like, oh
yeah, it does. Okay. Break the flow of the whole thing slightly. I understand they're trying to obviously expand the game as much as they can, and like I say, pad it out a little bit, I think, is the idea. It's not that those missions are horrible or anything. Some of them are fun and entertaining, and they all have 3-star ratings. You get 1 star automatically for completing a mission, and then you usually have 2 alternative challenges you can complete, like don't get hit at all or score 5 headshots or something like that. So you can 3-star it, which is basically bronze, silver, or gold. All the experience you earn goes into this shared pool. So whether you're playing on the single player campaign, earning XP and then putting that into upgrading your weaponry, upgrading your guns, putting on new sights and all that sort of crap, or whether you're playing in multiplayer and running around doing loads of headshots, you're earning experience all the time. And then that character that you're building up and that XP that you're using and those guns that you're building up can be used in both multiplayer and single player campaigns. So that's good, because it makes it feel like you're not wasting any experience. If you're playing multiplayer and doing a skirmish, it's counting towards your overall XP, so like no time is being wasted, you're always achieving something. So that's a kind of a good feeling. And the multiplayer stuff works. There weren't very many people active when I was reviewing it, obviously, but so I managed to find a couple of games with a couple of people. It works, it was pretty lag free. I'll have to see how stable it is now everyone's playing, so I can't pass judgment on the full thing. But it certainly worked, and there's a decent number of maps and modes, and they're big enough. Looks fine, looks good, looks pretty decent. I'm playing it on the iPad 4 for a review, but I also played it on the iPod Touch 5th Gen, which is the equivalent of an iPhone 4S. I did a comparison video on AppSpy, so we can compare processors, basically, because one's the A5 processor in the iPhone 4S, and the iPhone 5C, which is Peter's phone, he captured that, that's got the A6 processor, and there is a noticeable difference in certain effects, specifically the water. The water looks far, far better on the iPhone 5C. On the 4S, you lose a few frames and you lose a lot of lighting and things like that. Once you start playing it in isolation, you totally forget about that, and it doesn't really spoil the game, but if you put them side by side, you can see that there are noticeable differences. So that's like most of the positive stuff, I would say. On the downside, always online internet connection, right? That's a bit of a drag. To the point where it even affected me when I was sitting in my house with my broadband Infinity on Wi-Fi with a full 3 bars. I occasionally got logged out. And that's not good. That does not bode well, because you have to be connected, or at least it'll be checking in regularly to see if you're hooked up online. And that's not great if you're out with your phone on a bus or up a tree or on your lunch break or whatever, and you happen to lose signal for a moment, because then you're going to get kicked out your game. That's annoying. It's annoying when it's on your PC, and Ubisoft are doing it with Assassin's Creed, and it's annoying here, and there's no way around it. Now, the arguments for this sort of stuff is anti-piracy. That's what they always say. It's making sure that people don't have pirated versions and enabling Gameloft to deactivate pirated versions, like they did, as we discussed earlier, with those guys who leaked copies. So that's the reason it's there. Problem is, most digital rights management stuff ends up adversely affecting people who pay for it. That's always the problem. People then hack a version of it, remove the DRM, and then they can play it without interruption wherever they want, whereas the people who've actually coughed up money for it wind up getting penalised whenever the satellite drifts over their house and goes out of range. So that's a bit of a problem. Not a huge fan of that. I say the controls are still problematic for me. I read your review after I posted my review, Harry, and we basically said the exact same sentence, entirely independent of one another, which is, you still spend a bunch of time when you're trying to look left and right, you're more likely to accidentally lob a grenade than you are to look left or right. It's an easy thing to do because those controls sit in the bottom right-hand corner, the 2 buttons, but you're also using that area of the screen to try and move around, to look about. And so it's the continuing issue that happens where iPhone and iPad screens aren't best suited for this sort of thing. You can move the buttons around, so there is that option. You can personalise it to your
tastes. There's too many buttons to fit into the real estate on the bottom right. So yeah. Like I found myself with like a finger hooked over the back of my iPad like that, just sort of, well, the thumb's still down there to tap the buttons, but then then it just hurts so much. I had to stop.
But that's what it comes down to. No matter what, how you arrange those buttons, it's always a compromise. It's always going to be a compromise. There's no way around this. Unless you're using an actual physical controller, there is always going to be this problem. And no matter how many times people try to solve it, we always cite Ben Cousins and the Drowning, which was a one-touch system. They've had a few people have had a go at making a first-person shooter that works with one hand on iOS to solve precisely this problem. You're not really going to solve it. It's just not. I don't believe you're ever going to really solve it. It's just not ideally suited. You can always bodge it, you can always make it work, and in fairness, it works well in Mortal Kombat 5 compared to other first-person shooters on iOS and Android. But it's still, you know, I still sit there playing it going, God, I wish I had a controller. Yeah. And, you know, you cannot get around that.
It's even worse when you've got a tiny controller that works with your iPad in front of you and you can't use it.
Yeah, because for some reason they haven't include controller support. Incidentally, Gameloft do have their own controller, specifically their own Gameloft branded controller. Maybe it works with that and no others.
So, like, yeah, as far as I know, that update is, there's meant to be an update that is coming that will add that controller support. And like, when that happens, I think that's when I'm really gonna like give it a go. Okay. And like chuck it onto a big screen and play it sat down and completely anti-mobile.
Defeats the object somewhat.
See how it kind of like holds up against the other first-person shooters available out there for other platforms, but
I mean it works. It does what you expect it to do, and it does it well for within the parameters that it is sat within. More bombastic, it's over the top, and it's stupid, and it's just full of ridiculous, reckless violence that you just constantly mowing down foreign people, which is what these games always end up doing, callously and without any kind of remorse.
They've got red hoods on. Like, come on. They're evil.
They're Japanese. They don't even have hoods on. They're just, I think there's about 3 Japanese models, and you just kill them over and over and over and over.
Maybe they're like...
They've got gas masks, so you can't tell it's the same dude. Yeah.
Maybe they're like evil clones.
Just one with a mustache. He's the worst.
He is, especially when he's twirling it.
There are two sort of things that niggled me.
Okay.
The first one was that, like you said about the water looks nice.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like jelly. Like at the start, when you come out to do that first bit of in Venice, it is just like you have a sheet of gelatin over your face. That's not water. That's not what water does. Water doesn't get in your eyes like that, and it doesn't drip down anything like that. You've just made a water thing to show off what your graphics can do, and that really annoys me.
It does that thing where the assumption is that it's coming off of either a visor that you're wearing or the camera. What it is, it's really the camera, but that never makes sense because first-person shooters, you're seeing through eyeballs.
Eyes. Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree with you there.
The second thing is the lady in it, whose name I think is Rue or Rue.
Yes.
Her asset jiggle is just disgraceful. Like, she's got a full-body leather catsuit on, which you'd think would compress her in
certain areas.
She literally turns around and you're like,
yes, it's dead or alive levels.
That's
of
awful.
Jiggle.
Yeah. So stop that, Gameloft.
It's the same technology that powers the water.
It could work. It's just jelly.
Yes, the jelly boobs. But none of these things are really going to put you off, I don't think, if you're a fan of the Modern Combat franchise. Like, you know what you're getting. And it's the same thing with Call of Duty and the same thing with Battlefield. You know what you're getting. It's a military first-person shooter. It's about dude bros running around with guns, shooting people from other countries without remorse.
Yeah.
That's what it's. That's what they're all about. And it's one of the most popular genres, subgenres that exists in gaming. So there's a massive appetite for this kind of stuff. And whether it's my particular bag or not, you've got to look at them and go, you know, it does what it sets out to do, and it does it pretty well.
I'm not 100% sold on the Spec Ops mission bits.
Me neither. That's the thing that annoyed me.
The ones where, just the breach ones, where you throw in a grenade and do the door and then you've got 3 guys to shoot. And it's like, oh, you've got to shoot the guy with a hostage in a certain time. And they've got, sometimes they can take 10 minutes to complete, but you're just doing the same thing over and over and over again because you keep missing one of the guys, or you're not shooting a tiny death. Like, the controls aren't quite good enough to be that precise with your guns. So,
and even those Spec Ops, which are like six subdivided missions, that particular one you're talking about, the break and enter, yeah, breach and clear scenario, is further subdivided into, like, at the beginning there's just one or two and you have to complete two in a row. Then it goes up to like five, six, seven, and they get more and more and more. So if you fluff it on the very last one, if you shoot the guy with the bomb in the head instead of shooting the bomb out of his hand, you're back to the very beginning. Yeah. And it, like you say, it can take bloody ages. And when all you really want to do is get to the next level of the game,
go shoot people,
and then you can come back around and do, yeah, Spec Ops at your own amusement. If you yeah, completed the game, you want more content. Putting them as a barrier in between chapters, I'm not so cool with that. It does feel like it's artificially stretching out the length of the campaign and forcing you to play content you might not necessarily want to. But either way, yeah, if you like the fourth one, you'll like this one. It's the ultimate cop-out comment to make, but it's true. Just be wary and be warned. You do need to have an internet connection available to play it, so don't come crying to me when you say you can't play it on your treehouse in the middle of the woods. All right, so that's all done for this week. Thanks, everyone, for joining us on Twitch, and thank you, podcast listeners, for tuning in and downloading once again. We'll be back next week where things won't be all about Modern Combat 5 anymore. Hey!
I'm excited for next week.
Good! Oh. I am too. I'm super psyched. Thank you, everyone, for joining us, and we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye!
Bye!